Last year, we did the first three halachot of Perek Zayin, Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, in the Rambam. And just to quickly recap, we noticed that the Rambam presented the essential mitzvah of Haggadah really as a mitzvah of Sippur. And we're going to get back to that in the end of Halacha Dalad, about the nature of that particular mitzvah. We're going to look at Dalad right away. And then in Bet and Gimel, the Rambam talked about a specific component of that mitzvah, which he identifies seemingly as a separate mitzvah, which is Lohodia Labanim. And the critical difference is what the nature of the educational experience is. The nature of the educational experience of Lohodia is where there is a source and a recipient, a teacher and a student. There's a body of information that has to be transmitted. You have to ensure that the recipient is indeed getting it, and therefore you have to do it on the level of the recipient, and that would be multivocal and multilevel almost at the same time. To do that, you even have to, as the Rambam said in Halacha Gimel, do strange things, which is how we start the evening, in order to inspire and provoke questions so that the child who otherwise wouldn't be interested gets invested by asking questions, and then that spurs the discussion. Okay, let's take a look at Halacha Dalet. Tzarich lathchil b'gnut ulesayim b'shavach. Now, part of the problem here is that the Rambam at the very beginning said there's a mitzvah sipur, which is discussion among peers, as it were, and then in Halacha Bet talks about the mitzvah lahodiyah, which is parent-child, informed to uninformed, generation to the next generation. Now, when he gives the details of Tzarich lathchil b'gnut ulesayim b'shavach, is that modifying both of them? Is that saying that when you're talking and telling the story, it has to be gnut to shavach? Or is it only talking about the lahodiyah component, which is a critical difference? Because if you're sitting with a bunch of colleagues in the evening, and let's say you've done the pro forma beginning question-answer stuff, and now you're doing a discussion, does your discussion have to take the form of this grace to praise, or is it free form? That's one question we have to put on the table right away. And a ketzad, and now he explains how you do it. Matchil u'mesaper shebetchila hayu avotenu b'mei terach u'milfanav kofrim v'to'in achar ahel v'rodfin achar avodah zarah. He says, what does it mean to start with the disgrace and end with the praise? He said, first of all, you have to explain that originally, in Terach's day and beforehand, our ancestors, all our family, were all people who were following the error of pagan worship. And then you end, now notice, end doesn't mean you just jump from one to the other. You end with how Hashem brought us close to the proper, the word dat in Rambam's terminology means theology, that Hashem brought us to the proper theology and the proper understanding, and separated us from all of those who are errant, and brought us close to understanding His unity. A very powerful statement, exactly Rambam-esque. Many other people would not word it that way. But notice, how does the Rambam define Gnut Teshavach at the Seder, which is celebrating its Yat Mitzrayim? Not that you tell the story, we're going to get that in a minute, that we were slaves and Hashem took us out, but rather that we were pagans, we were idolaters, we were heathen, but more significantly, we were clueless about the truth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to the truth and separated us from all of those who were still errant. And then, V'chein, Matchil u'modia she'avadim hayinu l'faru mitzrayim, and then you also tell them, avadim. All of the evil stuff that they did to us. And then you end with all the miracles that happened and with our freedom. Now the Matchil and Mesayim are a little tricky because there are two points. We were pagans and now we're believers. We were slaves and now we're free. But Matchil and Mesayim doesn't posit them as first then this then that. But rather, hold on a second, first you start with this, and then there's a whole continuum, because Latchil means this is the starting point, then there's a whole continuum that's going to end with that. So, how do you start, let's do the easy one, how do you start with slavery and end with the Chirut? So you walk through some of the details of the slavery and how the slavery got worse, and you talk about things they wrote about the Yeledi, about the kids, and everything else, and then, little by little, walk through the Makot, until finally you get to the point of being liberated, which may also clue us into something else. How far does the evening extend? Meaning in history. We know how far back it extends. It extends to pre-Avraham, because we mentioned Terach and the Seder. How far forward does it extend? Well, in the way we apply it, but the core text, how far does it extend? So you would think that it extends until maybe Kriyat Yam Suf, right? Maybe not even Kriyat Yam Suf, because all those pieces that invoke anything after the actual exodus from the land of Egypt and from slavery, like Dayenu, which takes us all the way to the Beit HaMikdash, and like the Midrashim with the hands and the finger, the fingers and the hand, which all take us to Yam Suf, are all much later additions to the Haggadah. So the core Haggadah seems to only take us to Yitziat Mitzrayim. However, in matter of fact, we bring the entire evening all the way to Eretz Yisrael. And it could be that that's what Rambam is hinting to here when he says Umesayim Ba. You don't just start with we were pagans and now, boom, we're closer, but rather we're pagans, and then there's an entire process that brings us closer. And the same thing that we do with Avadim. We don't say we were slaves, God brought us out, let's eat. We have an entire development about how we became slaves, because you notice the psukim we invoke, by the way, in the Midrashim, talk about why we came down to Egypt, and all of the things that happened there, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of his intervention, his diplomatic intervention, and everything that goes on, and then the scene that take us out all the way through Kriyat Yam Suf. So we end up actually telling that whole story. Now, where did the Rambam get this from? The answer is very simple. It's a very straightforward answer. And that is, the Rambam got this from the Gemara. Because the Mishnah in Psachim says, Matchil b'gnut b'sayim b'shavach, those four words, which are the guide to the entire evening. You start with disgrace and end with praise. The Gemara then asks the question, my gnut, which disgrace do we have to tell? Which seems like a silly question, because it should be obvious that it's the gnut of being idolaters. And surprisingly, Rav says, what's the gnut? Not the gnut of slavery, but the gnut of idolatry, which is very strange, because what's that have to do with Yitziat Mitzrayim? Shmuel, or perhaps Rava, there's two versions there, says, Avadim Hayinu. That's the gnut. Now, do we think for a minute that Rav thinks that the Seder is all about theological development? Of course not. Everybody agrees Avadim Hayinu is the core. The question is that it? What Rav, everybody seems to understand, is that Rav's point is you also tell the story of Avadim Hayinu LePharaoh, but beyond that, you also have to tell the story of Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, Jason asks a good question, is where did he get that from? Right? So Matchil B'Gnut HaMaseim B'Shavach, let's start with that. Matchil B'Gnut HaMaseim B'Shavach, where does that come from? That can come from one of two possible places, which both of them, I think, dovetail into something very significant about the Seder. First of all, Atchil B'Gnut HaMaseim B'Shavach is the accurate chronological order. We're starting a story at a terrible place, and we're ending up in a good place. Right? So we're telling it in order. We have a halacha that you can't read Megillah L'Mafreya. You can't read Kriyat Shema L'Mafreya. You can't read it out of order. There's nothing that says you can't do Haggadah out of order. But Haggadah out of order makes no sense. To start telling the story about the Makot, and to start telling about Mechirat Yosef, and to start telling about Avram, makes no sense. History makes sense when it's in order. But there's another reason for Matchil B'Gnut HaMaseim B'Shavach, and that is something that we've said every year at this table, is that the entire purpose of the evening is a magical four-letter word, one that our friend Bill is the master of, and that word is Shira. The goal of the entire evening is thanksgiving to God. So the way to inspire that is to start by telling how terrible things were and then end up with a high. So Matchil B'Gnut HaMaseim B'Shavach isn't just historic accuracy, it's experiential maximizing of and pushing towards what you want, where you want to get to. So that's fine. But a different question that, Jason, I thought you were asking was, why would Rav even suggest, Avadim Hayinu is a no-brainer, that's obvious. Why would Rav even suggest that we should tell the story of the fact that we were pagans and Hashem brought us close? Well, the answer is actually in the Haggadah itself. Because Rav doesn't say this in the Gemara. Rav just says, mitchila of day avodah zarah. But we have a paragraph from the Haggadah which reads mitchila of day avodah zarah yolotenu rashav kerana makom lavonotel sheneemar. The Rambam doesn't have this in here. He has it in his Haggadah sheneemar. And let me quote three psukim from where? From Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua chaftal, Yehoshua's farewell speech in Shechem. And what does he say? Ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael be'eivah hanahar yashvu avotechem meolam. Terach Avi Avraham Avi Nachor Vayavdu Elohim Acherim. So when Yehoshua is giving his farewell speech to Am Yisrael, he starts it by, this is what we call a historiosophy, a retelling of history with an agenda in the telling. It's not just informational. And he starts it out by saying, this is what Hashem says. Originally, your ancestors lived on the other side of the river. The other side of the river presumably is the Euphrates. Terach Avi Avraham Avi Nachor Vayavdu Elohim Acherim. They worshipped other gods. Va'ekach et Avichem et Avraham Me'ivra Nahar Va'olecho Tov B'chol Eretz Kanan V'tein Lo Et Yitzchak V'abet Zaro. I brought Avraham and I brought him close. I brought him to Eretz Kanan. I gave him Yitzchak. I gave him a lot of kids. It's an allusion to Ishmael, who we don't want to mention. V'tein Lo Yitzchak Et Yaakov Esav Yaakov and Esav I gave Har Seir V'yaakov Anav Yardu Mitzrayim. Now, why is Yehoshua telling that story? Because Yehoshua is trying to tell the story to Bnei Yisrael, who are assembled there, of the recent, not the 500 years ago, but the 40 years ago, Exodus, 40, 54 years ago, however long it is, Exodus, that some of these people who are now geezers remember as little kids, and otherwise they heard from their parents, and how that all started. So what lesson do you learn from Yehoshua? In order to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, you have to tell the story of Avodah Zarah. You have to go back to the roots and see where did this whole thing start? Why do we have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where as a result of brotherly hatred, we end up as slaves in Egypt and suffer so terribly and are taken out so magnificently. It all starts because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close. The two things are intertwined. And we learn that from Yehoshua. So to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, you've got to tell the story of the special relationship we have with Hashem, which starts with Hashem taking Avraham away from Avodah Zarah of Terach and of that whole culture and bringing him close, which then starts the special relationship. So Rav is not substituting. Rav is saying in addition to Avadim Hayinu or before Avadim Hayinu, you've got to tell the story, which is why the Rambam, very carefully, remember every word in the Rambam. The Rambam labored over the Mishnah Torah and wrote several editions and kept fixing it based on critiques he got from the Chachmei Provence. Every word is a jewel, a polished jewel. And so here he says, we originally were of there with Azra, etc., etc. V'chein. Notice that word v'chein on the third line. Matchil u'modiya sha'avadim ha'inu l'farub mitzrayim v'chol ha'ra'a sha'gamaranu v'sayim v'nisim niflaut sh'nasu lanu v'cherutenu. In other words, the Rambam equates the two because the two are linked together. It's like two separate stories. And now, how do you tell that second story? Vushi drosh, or maybe the whole story, me arami oveil avi, ajig mor kol ha-parsha. So just a quick reminder. The core, there are two cores of the Haggadah. The second core of the Haggadah, very well known, Rabban Gamliel, Shloshat Dvarim, Pesach Matzah Maror. But the first core of the Haggadah is four psukim that have nothing to do with Pesach. Four psukim that appear in Sefer Dvarim, in the context of Mikra Bikurim, when you come to the Beit HaMikdash with your new fruit in the summer, not Pesach time, you make a declaration. What's the declaration? Basically, like we said with Yehoshua, a quick retell of Jewish history. We came from Aram, we ended up in Mitzrayim, and we became a big nation, and they worked us hard, and they oppressed us, and we cried out to Hashem, and Hashem heard our voice, and Hashem took us out with miracles, and He brought us to this land, and now Hashem hears the fruit of the land. But the four psukim that we select, because I did five, the four psukim that we select are a psukim that it's simply, and it's easy to remember because it's a rhyme, is Galut Avdut Tfilah Geula. Simple. The first pasuk is exile. The second one is slavery. The third is Tfilah. And the fourth is redemption. And then we take each one of the phrases in those psukim apart. Vayotzei Hashem Mitzrayim, Lo Ayde Melach Moed Esaraf, Biyad Chazaka Zera Dever. Right, we darshan each thing. Etc. That's a drasha on every one of the phrases in those four psukim. Now, the Rambam says, how do you do this? That this is matchil b'gnuta m'sayim b'shvach. How do you do that? By taking those psukim until you finish the parsha, and you darshan them. Darshaning them means you explain word by word, you expand on them, you expound on them, you build out from them on each one of the words, each one of the phrases. That's midrash. Now, what part of the Haggadah is this supporting? Is it supporting Avadim Hayinu or Avodah Zarah Hayinu? Which part? Could be both. How is it both? Because how does it start off? What's the first word? Arami Oved Avi. What is Arami Oved Avi? So in the Midrash that we employ in the Haggadah, Arami becomes Lavan. Oved becomes a transitive verb, which means Arami was trying to destroy my father. And the way that you would read it, punctuation-wise, would be Arami Oved, Arami Oved Avi. Arami pause, Oved Avi. And Arami tried to destroy my father. However, what's pshat? Oved is a non-transitive verb. Arami was my Avi Haya Arami Oved. My father was a wandering Aramean. That's how they typically translate it. Who is that? Who's the wandering Aramean? So Machloket Vishonim. Is it Yaakov or Avraham? But if it's Avraham, what does wandering mean? See, Yaakov is a wandering Aramean, I get. Because Yaakov had to wander from his birthplace all the way to Haran and back and out of Mitzrayim. Okay, what about Avraham? So you could say Avram wandered also. He had a he couldn't tell if pirates and he moved around the land. What?
He had to leave his father's house.
Right, but maybe the wandering is also part of the spiritual wandering. Maybe Arami Oved Avi is also hinting to the fact that the whole story goes back to the spiritual quest and the bringing close from pagan worship to Hashem, besides the next part, which is all about Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
What?
So what you're asking is, if the mitzvah is Zachor or Vigadata, then how is the goal of the Mishira? I think it's very simple. As a matter of fact, the Gemara gives us... I'll tell you. Because our relationship with HaKadosh, I'm going to say something broad here. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is predicated on text, but driven by heart. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Chachamim, I think it was Nachman of Daru, said to his slave, Avda de mafrikle mare, my ale lameyavad, something of that sort. A slave is redeemed, is saved. What should he do? He says he has to give thanks. So, oh good! In other words, the story is telling the information. There is a command in the Torah that you have to feel as if you came out based on the pasuk v'otanu otzim yisham. You, in Sefer Dvarim, by the way, is a generation that wasn't in Egypt. You have to tell your kid, I was taken out. So that means you have to feel as if you can't just got out. If I feel like I just got out and I don't say thank you, I am the lowest crumb in the world. Shira is something that isn't an obligation. Shira is something that if you don't do it, you're lower.
So
and I'll give an example.
Is the biblical thanks?
No, Shira is the heart's thanks, however it comes out. It underlies everything. And I'll give you an example of that. What do we say before Hallel? Every time we say Hallel, say Bracha, right? Shereik Hashem Zav Zvanu Likvar Talal, Likvar Talal. Okay, Rosh Chodesh, Shem Cholamoid Pesach. Maybe we don't say a Bracha. Shlach Tzibur says a Bracha. Fine, but there's a Bracha. Except at the Seder. Why don't we say a Bracha at the Seder? So Rav Haigon answers. He says, because every other time we read Hallel, it's Korina Talal. It's a formal recitation. Here it's Omer Shira. Here it's spontaneous first thing, fourth in song on page 192 at 10:15. But it's what it's supposed to be. And as such, that's really what the goal of the evening is. Right? All of the other things are there in order to create an environment in which you both have the knowledge and the feeling that will allow you to really do what you're supposed to do, which is to give thanks as people who just walked out of Mitzrayim today.
So here's my second follow-up to that sentence. The first day is...
What we're trying to recreate that night is that night, everything that led up to it,
the whole.
Pesach in Bayit Sheni in Yerushalayim with the Beit HaMikdash, Bayit Shlishi with Mashiach. We're trying to recreate every moment in Jewish history. I think that night in Mitzrayim is a small percentage of it. Right? Small percentage of it. because we don't focus on that mainly. And of course, we don't eat the way they did. We eat relaxed, not ready to go with our loins girded, if we knew how to do that.
But were they loins girded before midnight?
They were ready. They sat the whole night, ready to go, whatever whatever the command came. Okay, chipazon. So now, the last line of this is something which is an interesting twist off of the language in the Haggadah. And I'm going to do something that I never do, which is I'm going to say a drasha on Haggadah. V'achol ha-mosifu ma'arich b'drash parsha zu, haray zeh meshubach. The Rambam uses this language, kol ha-mosif u-ma'arich b'drash parsha zu. Notice, the Rambam does not say anything you want to talk about Mitzrayim is fine. He says, this parsha, but the mosif and the ma'arich, what is mosif u-ma'arich? It simply seems to be, the more you do. But every word in the Rambam is a polished gem. And he wouldn't have used Mosif or Ma'arich if Mosif would have been enough. So what's Mosif, what's Ma'arich? But I want to take you back further, roll you back. What's the language of the Haggadah? We don't say that. We don't say Kol HaMosif, we say Kol HaMarbe HaRez HaMishubach, which is not what the Rambam uses. What's that phrase Marbe? Because I have to be honest with you, Mosif is the more reasonable word to say. The more you do, the better it is. What's called hamarbe? It's a very strange thing. So der hadrash, and I do not mean for one second to suggest that this is pshat.
They're not synonyms.
Okay, so go ahead. What is marbe and what's mosif?
Marbe would be like to multiply more examples, more whatever. Mosif would be add to more than just this thing we're talking about.
Then what's marich?
Mosif and Ma'arich
are... So we have to figure out how they're different.
...are more similar than Marbeh.
Right, so it could be. I want to say something about Marbeh, which the Rambam does not use.
You're telling more. Ma'arich is if somebody else is.
That's always true. That's Yashin. The phrase Marbeh is an interesting. Call it Marbeh HaRez HaMishubach. And of course, on simple... read, it's Mosif and Ma'arich together, to do more. But there's something else that happens, and this cuts right to where Bill's university is. Marbeh comes from the root rabe, to do a lot of. It has the tzla, the sound, also of a different word in Hebrew, which is riv. A riv is a fight. And one of the interesting things about Limud HaTorah is that, and the Gemara says a beautiful passage in Kiddushin about Avu Bno Talmid V'Rabo Lozas Nasim Oyvim Zelazeh. When they study Torah together, they look like enemies. You walk into a Beis Medrash, it looks like two people are sitting next to you, they're about to kill each other. They're screaming at each other about Rabbeinu Tam, yelling at each other about Exodus. And, they look like they're murderous. Belozazim Misham Ad Shenasu Ohavim Zelazeh. By the time they get up from their learning, they become closer and more beloved to each other. That's what Limud HaTorah does. Limud HaTorah is not about harmony. It's about friction. It's about intellectual friction. So Kol HaMarbeh, in a sense, is the more that you do this intellectual friction of trying to convince others that your way of seeing it is right and listening to them, you're going to come out with something more beautiful as long as you're attentive. Respectful and attentive, but you really feel the passion and try to share it, you're going to end up with something more. Now, the Rambam, by the way, avoids that language. Because under what circumstances does Kol HaMarbeh work? Kol HaMarbeh works among equals. Because we're all chachamim, and we're all talking about it, and I'm sharing my perspective, and you're sharing your perspective, and somehow between that, we get a third perspective. We get a new idea. Maybe I get new light on your perspective, and vice versa, and suddenly we see things, we both become smarter. But that isn't accurate for the teacher-student model. The teacher-student model, Marbeh, is really, in a sense, almost an inappropriate relationship. It doesn't mean the student should ask questions. But students should not feel that they're a peer with the teacher. That's a very dangerous thing for everybody involved. So the Rambam here, when he says, Kol HaMa'arich, Kol HaMosifu Ma'arich B'drash Parshazu, may mean that the Rambam here is focusing on the teacher-student model, on the parent-child model, not on the Chachamim model. And what's the difference between Mosif and Ma'arich? Mosif and Ma'arich, it may mean what Abe said. Maybe Ma'arich is to make it part of your personal piece. And mosif may indeed mean that you add more already recorded midrashim, and marich may mean to explain them more. But either way, these two different words are reflecting two different modes of exposition, which are the more the better. And the more that you do it, the better. Now clearly there's a limit to this because the Rambam already stipulated you have to teach the child based on the child's knowledge and ability. So if the child is going to lose interest at point A, well, hopefully not, but point C, after that point you know that anything you say is not only going to be unheard, but is going to become a source of resentment, then you got to know that Mosif Marich has its limits. You know, force a kid to sit up all night listening to you, Darshanan, is a real big mistake. Right? So you obviously got to use good seich with that. The Rambam then, in Halacha Hey, goes to something that's, again, explicit in the Mishnah. But again, he doesn't have exactly the same wording. Now, what did the Rambam change about the wording in the Mishnah? Because the wording in the Mishnah is the wording in the Haggadah. Slight variations, but nowhere near as varied as this. And the Rambam's own Haggadah, he uses the proper Haggadah text or the Mishnah text. But what's the text he uses here? So what's the Lashon in the Haggadah? First of all, Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so we don't have to give credit to Rabbi Gamliel in the Halacha. But we'll say it in the Haggadah. But Kol Shelo Amar Shel Shad Vem Eilu BaPesach. It's Lo Yitzadeh Chometo. Right? Now, how do you interpret that word BaPesach? And I'm going to even say further. How do you vocalize that word? What are the vowels? Kol Shelo Amar Shel Shad Vem Eilu. Next word. BaPesach or BaPesach? What's the difference?
One is an object and one is...
Which one's the object?
Ba.
Kol shalom shloshet ba Pesach, meaning about the Korban Pesach.
Right.
Or bit Pesach is the date. The Rambam Paskins, which one? The date. By substituting the date for that. Because you could easily come to a misunderstanding, and many people actually interpret a Megamliel this way. As the obligation is an obligation of Korban Pesach. Because the big problem with Rabbi Gamliel's statement is, Kol Shelo Amar Shel Shad Vayim Eilu, Lo Yatzai Yidei Chovato, Eze Chova. Which obligation are you not Yotze? Most people think it's the obligation of Haggadah, but there are those who argue it's the obligation of Pesach. That if you do not explain what you're eating, you're not Yotze, even though you eat it. Right? So the Rambam, what? And so the Rambam seems to rule that it's not a mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, it's a mitzvah of Haggadah, which has tremendous implications. Because if you read the thing as about the Korban, then what would be the status today if you skipped Rabbi Gamliel? You're fine. Right? There's no Korban Pesach. No Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Gamliel is a zecher. Oh, Rabbi Gamliel is a zecher. But the Rambam says, Kol Shelo Amar Shel Shad Vayim Eilu Belel Chamisha Asar. Rabbi Gamliel's rule is not a rule about the Korban, it's a rule about Haggadah. And since it's a rule about Haggadah, it's equally enforced today. The mitzvah of Haggadah is equally enforced today as it was when there was a Korban. And therefore he switches the words in order to teach us that you have to do it today. And what are the three things? Pesach, Matzah, Morah. Right? And then he explains. But why does he explain? Pesach, Al Shem Shepasach HaMakom Baruch Hu Avotei Avotei Mitzrayim Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk. Notice, in our Haggadot, most of our Haggadot, there's a pasuk for each one of them. Matzah Al Shum Shen Lo Yispik Patekam Shel Avotei, right? Shenemar V'Yafid Amai. Maror Al Shem Shemarur Mitzrayim Shemarvar V'Yemarah with V'Chayayim. For everyone, there's a long explanation and a pasuk. If you look in the different Kitvei Yad, the manuscripts of the Mishnah, you will find wildly different versions there. Whether there is a pasuk, not a pasuk. Notice, by the way, what the Rambam does. He only quotes a pasuk for Pesach. Because he's saying something else. Where did Rabbi Gamliel get this from? Where did Rabbi Gamliel come up and say, there's a mitzvah that you have to explain these things, and if you don't do it, you're not Yotze? Where did he get it from? The answer is he got it from Moshe Rabbeinu's command to Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim when he said, when your kids say to you, Ma avodah zot lachem, va'amartem zevach Pesach hu la'adonai. In other words, you have to explain what the Korban Pesach is about. Why is it called Pesach? Because Hashem jumped over our houses when he killed the Mitzrayim. In other words, part of telling the story is explaining the symbols and tying symbols, the stuff we're eating, in with the event. So the only one of these three things that really has a relevant pasuk is Pesach. That's the one the Rambam quotes. Matzah, what does he say? Hashem shenigalu, we redeemed maror because of the avdut. It's very simple stuff. Pesach's the one that carries. So you could then argue, so fine, this is an obligation of Korban Pesach. What does that have to do with me? I'm sitting in Scottsdale. I'm not in Yerushalayim. There's no Korban. The answer is, the Rambam says, no, that's the chiyuv haggadah. So what do? We have matzah on the table. What do? We have maror on the table. And what do? We have a zecher and la korban on the table. Right? And we point to it and we say, that Pesach that we used to eat, why was that? So in other words, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah? You fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story by using symbols to tell the story and explain the symbols. Now, that takes us back, and I'll end with this point. Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol Shelo Amar. Amar. What does Amar mean? Kol Shelo Amar. Which means, it sounds like all you have to do is say, Pesach Matzah Mar. Finished. Right? Kind of like that old semi-joke. You say about, you know, what's the mitzvah of Kiddush, Doraita? Kiddush, Friday night, Doraita. What is it? Good Shabbos. That's Kiddush. That's the mention of Shabbos. Right? So, when you daven Friday night, Atakidashta, you certainly fulfill Kiddush, Doraita. You come home and make Kiddush. So, some poskim will bring up an interesting problem. Many women do not daven Maariv Friday night. She doesn't marry Friday night. You're already Yotzei Doraita. You come home and you're going to make Kiddush for your wife. She's Chayav Doraita. You're not Chayav Doraita. So what do? You say good Shabbos to your wife. And then she's Yotzei Doraita and they're all Darabanan. It's a strange question because it doesn't work that way. But based on the question. So I remember once somebody pointed out that the Gemara Pesachim says that when you do the mitzvah of Kiddush, you have to also mention Tziat Mitzrayim. One Daf Kuchat says that you have to mention Tziat Mitzrayim in Kiddush. Zachor Yom HaShavat HaKadosh, Zachor Ta Yom HaZeh. So I remember Rabbi Blau once telling me, and many years ago in YU, saying that, so the guy comes home Friday night, you know, and he realizes he's got this problem, so he wants his wife to be Yotzei Doraita, so he says to her, good Shabbos, and don't forget your Tziat Mitzrayim, and then he's going to make Kiddush. What's called Shelo Amar? Called Shelo Amar sounds like all you have to do is say, Pesach Matzah Mar, and let's eat. The Rambam says, no, that's not it. The Rambam says very clearly that's not it. Look at his language. Kol mi shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu b'abayah chamishasar l'zirecha v'tova elu en Pesach matzah morah Pesach al shem. That's all part of what you got to say. Because that's part of the explanation that's got to be made. Not say Pesach and in your head you know what it is. But you've got to declare Pesach is because Hashem jumped over the houses. Matzah is because we're redeemed. Maror is because they embittered our lives. And by the way, if you look at the Rambam's order, kind of interesting. What's the order in the Rambam? Pesach, Mor Matzah. The headline is Pesach Matzah Mor, but in the explanation it's Pesach Mor Matzah. Because bottom line is Mor and Matzah don't make a difference. The headliner is Pesach, but all three of them have to be explained. And then the Rambam says, "Udvarim ha'elu kulan hein hanikrain hagada." Udvarim elu meaning Aramiel ve'Avi, the four psukim, the midrashim, the expansion on it, and Pesach Matzah Mor. That's Haggadah. That's what we refer to Haggadah. That's what we're referring to. So we'll pick it up in Yitz Hashem next week with the Bechol Davador and the Rambam's fascinating differences between our Bechol Davador and his in understanding how we're supposed to reenact it.